Okay, we're beginning here on the second line on the top of Yud-Chet Amud Aleph. Here the Gemara is continuing to try to figure out how we know that Shavuot has 7 days to it. One day of Yom Tov and then 6 days of Tashlumim to make up the Korbanot. If you didn't bring the Shalmei Chagigah and the Olot Riyah on the first day, that you have a subsequent 6 days to make it up. So we had two opinions so far. We had the opinion of Amar of Lazar, Amar of Oshaya, who suggested the reason is because of the Hekesh between Chag HaMatzot and Chag HaShavuot. Okay, the reasoning of the Bei Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, who suggests that it has to do with Ukratem Ubikutzurchem, the fact that you're allowed to do work on a day that is quote-unquote holy or designated. That could only be true on the days of Tashlumim, not on the day of Yom Tov of Shavuot. The Gemara at Tzrichuto, why we needed both of those. We also possibly had the explanation within the context of Abaye and Rabbi Bar Shmuel, that counting days and weeks also creates two different paths. There's a day that's holy, and there's also a week that's holy. The day that's holy is Yom Tov. The 7 days that are holy are for the Tashlumim, for bringing the Korban Chagigah and the Olot Re'iyah. Now Reish Lakish offers another alternative, which is Reish Lakish Amar, V'chag HaKatzir Ezu Chag Shatach Chogeg V'Kotzer Bo, which is a holiday in which you celebrate and you also harvest on it. Avyomer Zeat Seret, that is Shavuot, because Shavuot is Chag HaKatzir. Imat, when do you do Katzir on the Yom Tov itself? If it's on Yom Tov, Tzira, harvesting on Yom Tov is not permitted. El Olav the Tashlumim must be on one of the days of Tashlumim where you're doing Tzira, and you're also celebrating the Chag HaTzeret, Chag HaShavuot. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan rejects this explanation of Reish Lakish and says, El Mi'atov, that's okay, Chag HaSif, Ezu Chag Sheish Bo HaSifah. Then why even explain? Chag HaTzir refers to Shavuot, and Chag HaSif refers to Sukkot, the holiday in which we do HaSifah. Aviomer Zeh Chag HaSukkot. Sukkot is the month or the holiday in which we do the Asifa. Eimat, when are you doing Asifa on Sukkot itself? Ilem Rabbi Yom Tov. If you're doing on Yom Tov, Malach Rabbi Yom Tov Mishari. Asifa is a Malacha. How can you be permitted to do Malacha on Yom Tov? Ela B'Cholosh Moed. You're going to suggest it's on Cholosh Moed. Cholosh Moed Mishari. Since when are you mutar to do this type of avoda on Cholosh Moed? Cholosh Moed is mutar in Dover or Malachto Shadover Oved. But it's not permitted in Malacha, just carte blanche. And especially here where it's a Malacha that is a Malacha that's done in large quantities, it may not be mutar. So since Chol HaMoed Mishori, since you can't do the Avodah on Chol HaMoed, so you can't do it on Sukkot itself, the Yom Tov, can't do it on Shmini Atzeret, can't do it on Chol HaMoed, then why is it called Chag HaSif? When do you do Asifa on the Chag itself? Ella, you must reinterpret the pasuk to say this. Chag HaBab is Van Asifa. Chag HaSif doesn't mean literally you're doing Asifa, the Malacha of Asifa on the holiday, but rather, it's the holiday that comes in the time period of the Asif. And so too, Al-Khanami, that would be the same explanation by Shavuot. Why is it called Chag HaKatzir? Because it's Chag HaBab Zman Katzira. It's the holiday that comes at the time of the Katzir, the time of the harvest. Not that you have to harvest on the holiday itself. And therefore, we have no proof from this that Shavuot has these extra days of Tashlumim based on Reish Lakish's Limud. Rabbi Yochanan argues and undermines that by saying that Chag HaSif wouldn't work that way, so Chag HaTzir cannot be interpreted that way. Michlau, from here you would infer from both the words of Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan to Davayu Svirilu the Chol HaMoed Asur Basiat Milacha. Everybody agrees that Chol HaMoed you're not allowed to do Milacha. Number one, Rabbi Yochanan, who says here that Chol HaMoed you can't do Asif, so he clearly thinks that the Milacha is Asur. And Reish Lakish doesn't answer Rabbi Yochanan. If he believed you could do Milacha on Chol HaMoed, he could have just said, you're right, Chag HaSif means do the Asifa on Chol HaMoed because it's Mutar. In fact, he doesn't answer that. It means that he agrees that Chol HaMoed is Aser B'Malacha. So we have what comes out between Reish Lakish and Yochanan is that they both believe that Chol HaMoed is Aser B'Siat Malacha. Menahane Mile. How do we know that Chol HaMoed is Aser B'Malacha? Now the Gemara is going to quote a series of brightot over here. Have Limudim out of the Psukim. The sum total or the picture that is drawn from the fact that they're quoting all these brightot is the fact that it sounds like the Aser B'Malacha and Chol HaMoed is Midoraita is from the Torah, and you can see that from the first line in Tosafot here. Chol HaMoed Asur B'Siat Melacha L'Chora Mashma D'Melacha Mitasur B'Midoraita. That it's a Din Doraita D'Mepig Leimi Pasuk. They're going to quote here a series of Psukim through the Braito that teaches this Din. It sounds like it is a Din Doraita. We'll come back at the end and rediscuss this issue. But here we go. Here are the Braito. Tetan Rabbanan. Et Chag HaMatzot Tishmor Shivat Yamim. One has to keep Chag HaMatzot 7 days. The word shemur or shmira, as Rashi points out, is to desist from malacha, to guard oneself against doing malachot. So if it says to keep, to be shomer chag matzot for 7 days, that sounds like there's an isra siyat malacha for all 7 days. Divrei Rabbi Oshaya. That's the limit of Rabbi Oshaya. On the other hand, Rabbi Yonatan Omer, Eino Tzarich, you don't have to do that. Kal v'chomer. It's a kal v'chomer. Umar Rishon v'shvi'i shen kudusha lifneim ulachrehem. The first day of Pesach and the last day of Pesach, which are holy days, they're Yamim Tovim and they're also Mesiyah Malacha. Yeah, they don't have in front of them a day of Kedusha and after them a day of Kedusha. The first day only has Kedusha afterwards, not before it. And the last day only has Kedusha before, but not afterwards. And yet they are still Asur Mesiyah Malacha. Cholo Shel Moed, Sheyesh Kedusha Lifneihem, Ulachrehem. Cholo Moed, which is surrounded by days of Kedusha, the first day of Pesach and the last day of Pesach. In Udinje Asur Mesiyah Malacha, certainly it should be Asur Mesiyah Malacha. Mara goes, what type of Kal v'chomer is that? Sheyesh Yemei Reishit Yochicho. What about the 6 days of the week? Sheyesh Kedusha Lifneihem, Ulachrehem. You have a Shabbat. Then you have 6 days of the week and another Shabbat. So you have Kedusha on both ends, yet nobody suggests that the 6 days of the week should be also be Asiyat Melacha, and they are Mutarim by Asiyat Melacha. So the Gemara says, no, Mala Sheshi Yimei Breshit, Shem Beim Korban Musaf. Sheshi Yimei Breshit, you're right, they do have Kedusha on both ends, but they don't have this additional factor that they have a Korban Musaf. Kol HaMoed, it has Kedusha on both ends, plus it has a Korban Musaf. Tomar B'chol HaShemoed, Sheish Bo Korban Musaf. Kol HaMoed has a Korban Musaf, she should be Asur by Asiyat Melacha. The Gemara says, Rosh Chodesh Yochiyach. Rosh Chodesh can prove that that's wrong. Sheish bo korban musaf. It has a korban musaf. Umutar basiyah melacha. And you're allowed to do melacha on Rosh Chodesh. So Gemara says, korban musaf is no proof that there's an isur asiyah melacha. Because Rosh Chodesh has a musaf and there's no isur asiyah melacha. Isur asiyah melacha on Rosh Chodesh is all by minhag. Well, that's the minhag that the nashim don't do it, or the nesim, the nobles don't do work on that day. Whatever the isur melacha is on Rosh Chodesh, it's only a minhag. It's not mi'ikur adin. So Rosh Chodesh has a musaf and it's not asur melacha. It says Mal Rosh Chodesh in Kuroi Mikra Kodesh. It doesn't have the terminology called Mikra Kodesh associated with it. Tomar B'Cholosh Moed Shekuroi Mikra Kodesh. Chol Moed is called a Mikra Kodesh. The whole B'Kori Mikra Kodesh, since it's called a Mikra Kodesh, Dinu Shasur B'Asiyat Melacha. Then there's a Kav B'Chomer that should be Asur B'Asiyat Melacha. So basically, Chol Moed, which is trapped between 2 days of Kedusha, it has a Korban Musaf, and in addition to that, it's called a Mikra Kodesh. So if that's the case, there's a good reason to believe that there's an Isur Asiyat Melacha during those 6 days. So that's the second limu we have, that Chol HaMoed is Asur Basiyat Melacha. Tani Idach, now we have a third braita. Kol Melechat Avudah Lo Tasu. One may not do any Melechat Avudah. Limeid HaChol HaShemoed Shasur Basiyat Melacha. That teaches you that Chol HaMoed is Asur in Melacha. Divrei Rabbi Yossi HaGalili. This is the limu of Rabbi Yossi HaGalili. There's nothing in there that indicates that there should be 7 days of Isur Melacha. Elo, the fact is that the next pasuk begins Shivat Yamim, which is Kol Melechat Avudah Lo Tasu. And then it says Shivat Yamim Takrivu Yishel Hashem. So the fact that Shivat Yamim is right after Kol Melechat Avudah Lo Tasu, he sees that juxtaposition as teaching you that for all 7 days there's a restriction of Kol Melechat Avudah Lo Tasu. Rabbi Kiva, here's our fourth explanation. Omer Enu Tzarich Hari Omer Ile Modei Hashem Asher Tikruo Otam B'Moadam B'Meir Ketuv Medaber. What are these Moadim that it's talking about? In Berishon, if you're done on the first day, Hari Kvar Ne'amar Shabbaton. The first day in Parshat Emor is already described as a Shabbaton, a day that we desist from Melacha. In Bishvi, the seventh day of Pesach also, Hari Kvar Ne'amar Shabbaton. It already says Shabbaton, meaning that's a day that you desist from Melacha. So it's already defined as a Moed. So, Ha, Ena Kadum Medaber L'Chol Shemoed, Ela Modei Hashem must be referencing Chol Moed. That teaches you that it's a sur in Melacha. Now, a fifth limud, Tani Idach, from another bright, Sheish Yamim Tochal Matzot, Oviyom HaShvi Atzeret LaHashem. 6 days a week Matzot, on the seventh day it'll be an Atzeret LaHashem. Ma Shvi Atzur, Av Sheish Yamim Atzurim. Just like Shvi is Atzur, Atzur here means stopped from doing Melacha, so do the 6 days are stopped from doing Melacha. Ima Shvi Atzur Bechol Melacha, just like the 7 days are full-fledged Isur Melacha, meaning aside from Ochel Nefesh, but as an Isur Melacha of Yom Tov, so too, the previous 6 days are atzurim in all malacha, not just things that are asur and chol moed. It sounds like it's like a yom tov. On the seventh day, it's atzeret. Ashvi atzur mechol malacha. The seventh day is cut off of all malacha. Vein sheishi yamim atzurim bechol malacha. But the other 6 days don't have a full cut off of malacha. Ha? But masrona kadub al chachamim. So how do you know what is what? So that's all given over to the chachamim. Lo malacha. Ezu yom asur, ezu yom mutar. Which day is Mutar, and which day is Asur? Meaning, they are Kuveya when Rosh Chodesh is, which will determine which day is Yom Tov, and which day is Chol HaMoed. And in addition to that, in Chol HaMoed itself, Ezem Melacha Asurav, Ezem Melacha Muteret, will be determined by the Chachamim. So from these series of Breitot over here, many of the Rishonim conclude that Chol HaMoed has an Isur Malacha Midoraita. And more importantly, the Gemara in Moed Katan, and we discussed it there in the Gemara Moed Katan, discussed it in our introduction to the Masechta, as well as on the Daf, where the Gemara compares Avelut to Chol HaMoed and says, well, there's a difference. Chol HaMoed is Doraita, Avelut is Derabanan. Makes it sound like Chol HaMoed is Doraita, and the restrictions of Avelut are only Midrabanan. So all of this evidence adds up to the fact that Chol HaMoed must be Osur Midoraita. Now, just by the mere fact that the Gemara brings so many different limudim and so many different brightot, they're trying to figure out why Chol HaMoed is asur b'melacha, that already tips you off to the fact that it's not so simple that Chol HaMoed is asur b'melacha, because the Gemara doesn't have a definitive limud. The Gemara knows that it's asur b'melacha, and then it begins to search and is trying to find a limud, and all the limudim are nice, they're close, but none of them are perfect. So therefore it brings all these brightot down. The fact that it brings multitude of brightot already indicates that there is some question, and it's not so straightforward that Chol HaMoed is asur b'melacha midoraita. Tosfot over here, after stating that the Gemara sounds like it's doraita over here, and the Gemara in Moed Katan, on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Bet, it makes it sound like Chol HaMoed is doraita. Nevertheless, he believes that Chol HaMoed, or the Isur Melacha Chol HaMoed, is midrabanan. It's for a very similar reason that he gives by the Gemara in Yoma with regards to the Chamesh Inuim. On Yom Kippur, Achila and Shtiyah might be asur midoraita, but the other Inuim is a machlokes rishonim as to whether they're doraita or derabanan. Over there, Tosfot says, because there are dispensations that allow you to override some of the other Inuim, including a Kala and a Melech who can wash their faces, by that dispensation, it shows you that there can only be Asur Midrabanan. Because in Doraita, we don't have this bifurcation or breaking down of the din to half and half. It's either Asur or it's Mutar. The fact that we have these dispensations shows it's Derabanan. So too over here, Tosafot says the same thing. The fact that you have a dispensation of Dover HaAved already shows you that it's only Asur Midrabanan. Otherwise, you wouldn't have any dispensation. Be Asur or not Asur. The fact that Dover HaAved is Mutar, that already indicates to you that it's a din Derabanan. What does Tosfot do with the Gemara over here? Says it's all asmachtot. Asmachtot from the Psukim. What about the Gemara in Moed Katan that says that Chol HaMoed is Doraita, Avelut is Derabanan? He says that just means relative to Avelut. Avelut has no source in the Pasuk whatsoever. Chol HaMoed has, as we see here in the Brightot, a source in the Psukim and Asmachta. So in comparison to Avelut, Avelut is purely Derabanan because there's no Asmachta. Chol HaMoed is Doraita because there's an Asmachta Doraita. Not because it's not rabbinic in nature, but because it is a din derabanan that has an asmakta in the pasuk. And based on that, Tosfot says here that Chol HaMoed or Isur Melacha Chol HaMoed is midrabanan and not midoraita. This is subject to a machloket arishonim. The majority of rishonim believe that Chol HaMoed is Isur Melacha midoraita. There are the Tosafot, the Rosh, and a number of other rishonim and some of the gonim that suggest that Chol HaMoed is only Isur midrabanan. Even those that agree that Chol HaMoed, the Isur Melacha, is midoraita, they believe that it was given over to the Chachamim to determine what exactly is Osur midoraita, and what is Osur midrabanan. The Bar Halacha brings down the nafkamina between the two shitot. The most obvious nafkamina is when you have a safek. If you have a safek, do you go to Chumrah, do you go to Kula? If it's a safek to Rabbanan, you'd go to Kula. If it's a safek doraita, we'd go to Chumrah. In general, we're choshesh for the shitot that says that Melechet Chol HaMoed is doraita. Unless we can mitzdari for another kula alongside. If we have another kula, then we can say that given the shita that it's derabanan plus this other kula, then we can be mitzdari with them already to give people heterim on Chol HaMoed. The Ramban over here again does something similar to what he does by Avelut, which is he says some of the dinim are doraita and some of them are derabanan. The din doraita is malacha that is not dover aved is osur midoraita. Malacha that is dover aved, but the Chachamim still were osir it in certain cases where there's extra tircha, or where he's mekavei melachto to the moed. In those cases, that's an isur derabanan. So there's a part of the isur melacha of Chol HaMoed, which is deoraita. There's a part that is derabanan. And again, that's the shita Ramban that tries to balance between the different gemarot that seem to indicate it's derabanan and some that indicate deoraita. He says some dinim of Chol HaMoed are derabanan, and some are dinim doraita. Once again, we went through this in much more detail in our introduction to Moed Katan, just reviewing it here, because this is one of the main sugya about whether Chol HaMoed is a din doraita or a din derabanan. Now the Gemara continues discussing the Mishnah, and the Mishnah says, "Mutarim behef speid v'tanit." The Mishnah said that when the Yom Tovah falls out on a Sunday, they allow hespedim and taniot on that day, in order to undermine that limud of the tzedukim and not say that Sunday is the real day of Shavuot. Shalom lekayim et divrei omrim etzer dechad b'shabbat. V'atanyo, don't we have a Tosefta that says Masil mate Alaksa Belot? Alaksa passed away in Lot. V'nichnusu kol Yisrael softo. Everybody came in to give a eulogy. V'lo hinicham Rabbi Tarfon. V'nei Yom Tov shel Atzeret Hayah. He did not allow them to give Aspen a day because it was Shavuot. Where it says, Yom Tov Sagadatcha, Ibi Yom Tov Mika'atu. Wait, if it's Yom Tov, why are the people coming? You don't bury somebody on Yom Tov. People aren't coming on Yom Tov, so it couldn't really literally be Yom Tov. Ela Eima Mipnei Yom Tov Oachaya. Wasn't Yom Tov, it was Yom Tov Oach. And here, Rabbi Tarfon says, no go for Hespet against our Mishnah. Where it says, Logasha, Kami Yom Tov Shechaliot Achara Shabbat, Kami Yom Tov Shechaliot Bishabbat. Depends when Yom Tov fell out. If Yom Tov fell out on Shabbat itself, and the Yom Tov Oach was postponed until Sunday, in that case, it's Mutar Be'Hespet, Mutar Be'Tanit, to go against the limud of the Tzdukim. On the other hand, in the case where Atzeret fell out on a Sunday, like it will this year, in the upcoming year, it will be on a Sunday, then the Yom Tov Oach would actually fall out. It's talking about when Shavuot fell out on a Sunday, or any of the weekdays, and the Yom Tov Oach is not on Sunday. When Yom Tov Oach is not on Sunday, there's no reason to allow Hespet and Tanit. It should be Osir, just like Yom Tov in those days of Tashlumim, because there's no mitigating factor of undermining the Tzdukim. Since there's no reason to undermine the Tzdukim when it's any day of the week besides Sunday, therefore, we do not allow Hespet and Tanit in that case, and that was the case of Rabbi Tarfon. Or you could argue in the case where it falls out on Yom Tov itself on Sunday, then of course there's no Hespet and Tanit on Yom Tov because it's Sunday. And since it's Sunday, there's no Hespet and Yom Tov, and you can't do anything. The fact that Shavuot fell on Sunday can't say, oh, we're not going to uphold the Tzdukim, so we're not going to have Yom Tov. That we can't do. So Yom Tov falls out on Sunday, there is no Hespet and Tanit. It's a regular Yom Tov, even though in that year it would support the Tzdukim. But the Yom Tovach, or any of the makeup days, we're not going to change the din there because there's no value in trying to undermine the Tzdukim in that way because it has no meaning to them the other days. But in a case where it fell out on Shabbat and we're specifically pushing off the bringing of the Gormanot till Sunday, there it looks like we're changing Shavuot to accommodate the Tzdukim. In that case, we do all the other things to prove that it's not that case. We have the Kohen Gadol wears regular clothing, according to Rashi, according to Tosafot, whatever you explain. Plus, we say there is Hespet and Tanit to make it as if, or downplay the fact that it is a day of Yom Tov. Okay, now we begin the next Mishnah on the top of Yochanan Amud Bet. This Mishnah launches us into the world of Tumah Tahara, which will take us through the closure of Masechet Chagigah. Again, it's relevant because on the regel, everybody came up. Chavirim, Amai Aretz, there was a lot of questions about Tumah Tahara, and therefore the dinim of Tumah Tahara are discussed here, beginning here at the tail end of this parak, and then leading into the final parak of Chagigah, which is all about Tumah and Tahara. Nodim yileadayim lechulin. One must wash his hands to eat chulin. Ule maser, and also to eat maser. Ule truma, and to consume truma. Ule kodesh matpilim. In order to eat kodesh, one has to dip his hands in the mikveh. Ule chatat, and one who works with the paraduma must also do that, dip his hands into the mikveh. Now, all of the things that are discussed in our Mishnah, as Rashi points out, all these malot are dinim dirabanan. These are tumot dirabanan, and ma'alot, extra chumrot that they placed on individuals in terms of tahara, these are all rabbinic in nature. Because as far as the Torah is concerned, your hands cannot be tameh without your entire body being tameh. So either you are tameh or you're not tameh. The fact that your hands are just tameh and you're washing your hands, that's already indicative of the fact that it's a din d'rabbanan. And the rabbanan instituted that one's hands are tameh, either because they came in contact with tumah, or stam yadayim askaniyotem, default hands are considered to be tameh because they touch and they move around, and therefore they're considered to be shniyot tumah. In all these cases, one must wash their hands in order to engage with the item. For chulin and maser and truma, you have to wash your hands, like negovaser. On the other hand, with kodesh and chatat, you have to dip them into the mikveh. Im nitmu yadav, nitmu gufo. If his hands become tameh, his entire body became tameh. Tavalu chulin, if he goes to the mikveh to mimitar himself in order to eat chulin, chugzak the chulin. Then he's tahor to eat chulin, but asur the maser. That is still a level below maser, and therefore he can't eat maser until he goes to the mikveh again. Tavala maser, if he went to the mikveh for maser, and he had in mind that he's going to be kadosh, or tahor for the level of maser, then hukzak the maser, he is tahor for maser, asur the truma, but he can't engage with truma. He's still considered to be tamei vis-a-vis truma. Tavala the truma, if he went into the mikveh and had kovana, specifically intent to go for truma, to be matar himself to eat truma, hooks up the truma, then he's fine for eating truma, but asur the kodesh, he can't eat kodesh unless he goes to the mikveh again. Tavala the kodesh, if he goes in the mikveh to eat kodesh, hooks up the kodesh, that supports him eating kodesh, but asur the chatat, he still have a restriction against engaging in the para aduma, because he's still a level below. He only was mitar himself up to the level of Kodesh. Taval the Chamor, mutar the Kal. If you were Tovel for the higher level of Tara, then automatically you're subsumed in that or included in that is the lower level. So if you're Tovel for the Chatat, for the Parah Duma, then that Tvila will count for everything. Kodesh, Truma, Maaser, Chulin, it works. If you're Tovel for Truma, then it works for Truma, Maaser, and Chulin. And anything below it, that level and below, is covered. Taval v'lo chukzak, a person who goes to the mikveh and does not have anything in mind, kilu lo taval, it's as if he was not tovel whatsoever. So when you go to the mikveh, you have to have in particular mind what type of tara you're trying to attain. If you have nothing in mind, then you attain no tara whatsoever. Big day amaretz, midras leprushin. So big day amaretz, the clothing of an amaretz, are assumed to be midras. Midrash is a terminology that derives from the zav and the nida and zavagidula, which is that if they sit on an object, if they ride on an object, or they lay on an object, they make that object tamei at the same level that they are. They are avota tuma, and the object on which they sit, ride, or lay on, they also make that object a ava tuma, that's called midras. So the clothing of an azav, or zava, or a nida, will have that din of midras, because they're wearing the clothing, they're going to sit on the clothing, they're going to lay on the clothing, they move around the clothing, it'll have the same status as the individual themselves, and have a din of ava tuma. Therefore, the Begadim of Amaretz, even though we know nothing about this Begadim, we assume they are Midras, that they are Ava Tuma, Midrabanan, Leprushim, for those that are careful about Tuma and Tara. The suspicion over here is the possibility that his wife, Anida, wore the clothing, or sat on the clothing, or laid on the clothing, and made them into Midras Tuma. So because of that Safek, we make it as if it's a Vadai Midras, the Vadai Ava Tuma, Midrabanan, again, because it's all a Safek here, and we assume that it's Tamei and the Prushim do not engage unless they clean it or make it Tahor. Big day Prushim, Midras, Lochlei, Truma. The Prushim who are keeping a certain level of Tara to eat Chulin, they are still problematic for those that are keeping the level of Truma, the Kohanim who are eating Truma. If they come across the Begadim of a Parush, that doesn't help them because for them it'll be like an Ava Tuma. Big day Lochlei, Truma, Midras, the Kodesh. Again, these hierarchies where we have different levels of Kedusha, if you are keeping things out Tara to Truma, and you're making sure that your begadim are in tahor for truma, that doesn't help for kodesh. As far as kodesh is concerned, your begadim or your wife's begadim are all considered to be midras ava tuma. Big day kodesh, midras lechatat. And similarly, someone's begadim who are tahor for kodesh, they still are problematic for the para chatat, the para aduma. Yosef ben Yoezer yachasid shebikuna is one of those righteous individuals of the Kuna, Vaita mitpachto midras the Kodesh. Despite the fact that he was a Kohen, he was a Hasid, he was very careful about his Tarot, since he's only keeping his Tarot for the level of Truma, it was still problematic. His towel, his handkerchief, whatever begad it is that he had, was Tahor for Truma, but it was still problem, midras the Kodesh, it was still problematic, considered to be an Abba Tumah for Kodesh. Yochanan ben Gudgoda, ayochel al Tarata Kodesh, koyamav, he used to eat all his kulin at the level of Tarat HaGodesh for his whole life. And despite the fact that he kept such a high level of Kedusha, that even his kulin, he ate at the level of Kodesh, but that's it. He ate at the level of Kodesh. If it's a level of Kodesh, that's not good enough for Chatat, that's not good enough for a Parat Duma, and therefore, it would be Midras, it would be considered an Avatuma for the Chatat. So that's our Mishnah. Mishnah is basically laying out gradations of Chumrot that are associated with things that have higher levels of Kedusha. As the Kedusha gets higher, then the requirements are more stringent. We'll see that beginning in the next parak, the Chumrot that are associated with each level. But what's clear here, that if you only keep one level of Tara, any level that's above that has a problem with your level of Tara. And again, if it's below, then that Tara will suffice for that which is below it. So again, if you're Tahor L'Truma, that doesn't make you Tahor for Kodesh. If you have Begadim that are kept al-Tarat Truma, that doesn't make it Tahor for Kodesh, because Truma is one level, Kodesh is a level above that. So now the Gemara says, Chulin u'maser mibo netilat yadayim. Our mission over here suggests that you have to wash your hands to eat Chulin and Maser. Piramini, is that really true? We have a Mishnah in Bikurim that says, Truma v'Bikurim chayavim aleihem mita. Truma and Bikurim, which have Kedusha, have certain aspects about them that are not true by Maser, and obviously not by Chulin as well. Which is number one, chayvelim mita. If you eat truma or bikurim, there's a chiyuv mita bidei shemayim for eating them. Vichomesh, and if you eat them when you're not supposed to, and you basically steal it from the kohen, then you have to pay him back one and a chomesh, and a fifth on top of that, which is really a quarter, 25% more. Basur lezarim, anybody who's not a kohen may not partake of truma. And they are the possessions of the Kohen. The Kohen can do as he pleases with them. He may not give it to someone else to utilize, but he himself can marry a woman through using the Truma, because the Truma is considered to be his money and his possession. There's a stringency that the Chachamim establishes with Truma. They learned it out from an Asmachta, from the Pasuk in the Navi. But the fact is that generally when we have Bitul, which is one item exceeds another item, it's Mivatal, it nullifies it, that's Batul Birov. Majority governs. But by Truma, Bikurim, anything associated with Truma, they made the rule that it has to be 100-1, or Machlok Bishon might be 101-1. But either way, there's a higher level of threshold in order to be Mivatal, an item that is Truma. It has to be 100-1. Bituanim need to let you dime, and they require you to wash your hands before you eat Truma. Veherev Shemesh. And if you are a day, you are Tamei for the day, for instance, you touch the Sheretz, you go to the Mikveh. When you go to the Mikveh, you become a Tvul Yom. The Tvul Yom cannot eat Truma until Herev Shemesh, until the sun sets on that day. In the latter two cases, the reason being that a Stam Yadayim hands are Sheni the Tuma, and a Tvul Yom is also a Sheni the Tuma. Truma can have a Shlishi the Tuma. It has a level 3 of Tuma. So therefore, if the hands that are Sheni the Tuma touch the Truma, they will cause a problem for it. The Tvul Yom was gone to the Mikveh as a Sheni the Tuma. If he engages with the Truma, he's going to make it Pasul. He's going to ruin it because he's a Sheni the Tuma. By Meiser and Chulin, there is no level 3 of Tuma. It ends at Sheni. So therefore, a Tvul Yom and hands should not affect Meiser and Chulin. And based on that, the Mishnah says, Harielu b'truma b'grim, all these items that we just said here are true by Truma b'grim, Mashenkin b'maser, which are not true by Meiser, because Shekin b'chulin. If it's not true by Meiser, then certainly not true by Chulin. Meiser and Chulin do not have any of these items. They don't have a mita b'day shemaim. They are mutar lezarim. If they're given to a zar to eat, they are mutar. They don't have a punishment of a chomesh if they're eaten. They do have a chomesh. If you redeem them, you have to pay a chomesh. But there's no redemption by Truma, so it's not a comparable type of chomesh. They do not require netilat yadayim, and they can be eaten by a tvul yom. And they're not your personal possession, because mechulin is obviously your personal possession, but maser is not, because maser, you have to spend the money of redemption on divrei achila, on things that are for food. You can't use it for whatever you want. It's not really yours. It's yours in the sense that you can exercise the right to buy whatever food you want, as long as it's permissible food, but you don't have the right to use it for as your own money. When it says, kasha maser amaser, kasha chulin achulin. Our Mishnah indicates netilat yadayim for chulin maser. We have the Mishnah in Bikurim that seems to indicate otherwise. So it says bishlamo maser maser lo kasha. We can differentiate a maser ha Rabbi Meir ha Rabbonon. We have a difference in opinion of Tanaim as to whether maser requires netilat yadayim. Tatan kol atun biat maimi divrei sofrim. Anybody who requires to go to the mikveh midrabanan midoraita, they're completely tahor. They are tamei here tuma dirabanan, and they're required to go to the mikveh midrabanan mitamei et kodesh uposel et chuma. They are considered to be a sheni l'tumah. Since they're a sheni l'tumah, they are mitamei kodesh. The word mitamei always means that it becomes tamei and can convey tumah. Pasul means that's the end of the line. So truma that has a shlishi l'tumah only goes up to a third level tumah. A sheni that touches it makes it pasul because that's the end of the line. Kodesh, which also has a revi l'tumah, if a sheni l'tumah touches it, it makes it into a shlishi, which can make a revi in kodesh. Mutar l'chulin l'maser. But that individual who is a Sheni Tuma does not have to worry about Chulin and Maser. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Chamim Osrim b'Maser. Chamim say, no, Maser is in the same category as Truma. So you see that the Chamim believe that Maser and Truma are equated. So if to wash for Truma, you have to wash for Maser as well. And Rabbi Meir believes that Maser is the same as Chulin. So therefore, you don't have to wash for Chulin, and you don't have to wash for Maser. So our Mishnah will be authored by the Chachamim, who say you have to wash for Maser. And the Mishnah Bikurim will be authored by Rabbi Meir, who says you do not have to wash for Chulin. I says, okay, you solved the question of Maser, but El Chulin, El Chulin, Gasha. Solved the problem of Chulin in our Mishnah, and the Chulin plied from the Mishnah in Bikurim. I says, Lokasha, Gan Bachila, Kaminigia. Depends what you want to do with the Chulin. You want to eat the Chulin, then you need to wash your hands. You want to touch the Chulin? Go ahead and touch it. Skamat, Kifla, Rav Shimi, Barashi. Adgan, Lo Pligi, Rabbana, Le, Rabbi Meir. Ela ba'achila de maser. The machloke between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Meir by maser is only when you want to eat the maser. Aval midigia de maser. If you want to touch the maser, uba'achila de chulin, and even eating by chulin, not only touching chulin, but even eating chulin, divrei akol, that lo bligay. They don't argue that divrei akol, you don't have to wash your hands. The only time the chachamim require to wash your hands is when you're eating maser. Not even when you're touching. You can touch maser, only when you eat maser are you required to wash one's hands. So where it says, Ela idvi de ba'achila. We're talking about a case of achila here, both by chulin and maser. Velo kasha. Kan ba'achila de nehema. when it has to do with eating bread. When it has to do with eating fruits. When it comes to eating a bread, one has to wash their hands. When it comes to eating a perot, then one does not have to wash their hands. Damar, Rav Nachman, Golan will tell you about the perot. Anybody washes his hands for perot of chulin and perot of maser, ze migasei ruach. That person is haughty. That's someone who's holding themselves to a religious standard that is way beyond what anybody does, and it's not considered to be acceptable. The only time that we do that is on the Haggadah, on the night of Pesach, where we dip the karpas in the water that we wash our hands for tovel, because it has mashkia on top of it, which leads to a machloket bishonim as to whether not washing one's hands for fruits is only when they are dry, or even when they are wet. So some Rishonim believe that if they're wet, you have to wash your hands even not on the night of the Seder. Others believe, no, that once we eliminate the din of washing one's hands, you don't have to wash one's hands whatsoever for fruits, whether they're dry or whether they are wet. But here you have the clear distinction between bread and other items, and that's our practice today, which is that we wash hands for the eating of bread, but not for anything else. The question is why that is the case. Why is it only by achila of bread that we require the washing of one's hands and not when they touch the bread? If they touch the bread, they should become tamei, just like when they eat it, it's problematic. Or, why isn't the person only restricted when his whole body is tamei, but not when just his hands are tamei? What is this institution of the hands and bread? So the Chazon Ish mentions that it all has to do with the problem of srach truma, which is basically the Chachamim institute that one must wash their hands for truma. Because Truma can accept a Shlishi L'Tumah, and Stam Yadayim are a Sheni L'Tumah. So they institute that one must wash their hands for Truma, and there, they have to wash, even to touch the Truma, it's problematic, and they need to wash for it. But they knew that the institution would not take hold if they only instituted it on the Kohanim, and the Kohanim had to wash for everything. So what they did was, they established that even for Bnei Yisrael, or even for regular Yisraelim, they would have to wash their hands for bread, in order to strengthen the whole institution of washing one's hands. Now, they only did it in the main item that a Yisrael eats, which is bread, which is the center of the meal, and is also something that likely could be truma, because the grains are chayav in truma. We have the gan, tirosh, and yitzhar. So since those are the items that midoraita, the majority of the items will be the wine, the oil, and the grains, therefore they made the din by the bread for one to wash one's hands in order to uphold the general principle, the general halakha, that one must wash their hands when it comes to truma. There, because you can't even touch, you can't even engage in the Truma, because your hands are Shein L'Tumah, and the Truma is a Shlishi L'Tumah. And the same is true in the Chachamim's position with regards to Maaser. Just like by Chulin, they only require you to wash for eating, and not for touching. So too by Maaser. It's not because the Maaser is Tamei, they're just like the Chulin's not Tamei. They do it only to uphold or strengthen the position with regards to the Kana that they have by Truma, that one must wash their hands in order to eat Truma. On the other hand, there are Rishonim who believe that even though normally Maser does not become Tamei by a Shlishi the Tumah, here the Chachamim made an exception when regards to eating, which we've seen from Tosafot and the Gemara in Beitza, that interacting with an object through eating is a much more intense and personal interaction with the object, and therefore they would go there by eating of Maser that you have to wash your hands, even though normally Maser does not become Tamei, in this instance it would become Tamei. Lastly, the Tosafot read over here suggests that all of the Gemara here is based on the Havamina, that the distinction that the Chachamim draw here is about Netilat Yadayim. That one who has Yadayim that are Tmeim, that the individual has to wash in order to interact with Maser. In the conclusion of the Gemara, where it narrows it down to simply eating of the Maser, the Gemara also rejects the understanding that it all has to do with Tumat Yadayim. And rather, it has to do with Tumat Aguf. And therefore, the Chachamim's position where it's only about eating Maser, it's only when the entire person's body becomes tamei that we require them to do tevilah for the entire body. This whole concept of washing and dying for maser falls away in the conclusion of the Gemara once we've narrowed the Chachamim's position to only eating maser, and therefore the Chachamim's position is not relevant to our Mishnah, because the Chachamim are speaking about tumat guf and tevilah, whereas our Mishnah is talking about netilat yadayim. Right now the Gemara continues. Tarabanan, tell yadav. Someone washes his hand. Nitgavein yadav teorot. If he has in mind to be metayer his yadayim, then they are teor. Lo nitgavein yadav tmeot. If he doesn't have it in mind, then they are tamei. V'chein amat bil yadav. Someone does tefillah, puts his hands into the mikveh. Then nitgavein yadav teorot. If he has intent to be metayer them, they're teor. Lo nitgavein yadav tmeot. If he didn't have kavanah, his hands are tamei. So now, we have here a basic principle that you must have kavanah when you're being metayer your hands, whether through washing or whether through going putting them in the mikveh, that they become tahor. Whether he has intent or doesn't have intent, they are tahor. Rav Nachman lo kasha, kan lo chulin, kan lo maser, depends for what. For chulin, you don't need any intent. For maser, you do need intent. How can I show you that chulin does not require intent? Tetnan, we have a mishnah in mikvot that says, gal tetnan, gal shenitlash, a wave that's separated from the ocean. Ubo arba'im sa'a, and the wave itself contains 40 sa'a. And it fell on a person that was sitting there with his kelim next to him. It's mitayer the adam, and it's mitayer the kelim. Tani adam dumiyak the kelim. Over there, it compares the din of an adam to the din of the kelim. Ma kelim, which are inanimate objects, the lo mikavne, they certainly didn't have kavana. Av adam the lo mikavne. So too, the person didn't have kavana, and yet he becomes tohor, even without any kavana, here by chulin. It says, umimai. How do you know that? Dilma b'yosheva mitzapeh. He's sitting there waiting for the wave to come. He's anticipating the wave coming. When will this wave separate from the ocean? Askinan, and therefore he's waiting for it, and he does have kavana. The kelim dum yada adam. It'll be the other way around. The din of the kelim will be determined by the din of the adam. Ma adam dabar kavana. Just like the person has the ability to have kavana, and that's what we're talking about here. Af kelim de mekavinu. So too, the kelim, they themselves may not be able to have kavana, but the person must have kavana that the kelim become tor. That's a nice answer, but if you say he's sitting there and waiting, my the memra, what's the chiddush over here? If he's sitting and waiting for it, and he has kavana for it, why is it such a big chiddush? Because I would have thought ligzor dilma ati the mitbal bechardalit shogeshamim, be afraid that he might come to dip himself into a mikveh that's made up of running rainwater that's coming down a mountainside, just like this wave is a flying water. So to that water that's coming down the mountainside will also be okay. Or inami nigzor rashina tukipin. Or by the wave, we're going to worry about him being tovel in the wave, in the middle of the wave, rather than on the edge of the wave. At the edge of the wave, it's mutar, because the wave then is hitting the ground again, and then it has a din of mikveh. But the wave in the air does not work, because that's a flying mikveh, and a flying mikveh doesn't work, and you cannot be mutar. If he holds up the keli into the wave in the middle, it doesn't work. So we would have thought, maybe when we go there, don't allow him to do it at the edge of the wave, where it hits the ground, because he might come to do it in the middle of the wave. Kamash Malan, Delo Gazarina. That is the Kamash Malan that we are not gozer in this case. So too, by the Chardalit. You might have thought that just like the wave is moving water and therefore it's problematic, so too, by rainwater that was moving, a person might come to think that that's just fine. And it's not fine. And so we might be gozer, Kamash Malan, that we are not gozer in this case. What is the problem with the rainwater that is moving? Rashi over here brings two reasons as to what the problem is. Number one is, when you have a mikveh made out of rainwater, it must be an ashborin. Must be gathered together in a single location. It cannot be something that is moving or something that is on an incline in motion. If it's a water that's in motion, it does not count. You cannot go to the mikveh. Number two is, even if it's not on an incline, you're not allowed to dip into megishamim when they are flowing. So first of all, anything that's on an incline or moving from kli to kli, Rashi says, you can't use that as a mikveh because that water is a problem of mekatafres, water that's in motion. Water in motion is problematic. Number two is, even if the water is on a flat surface, it's not on an incline anymore, it's also problematic if it's moving because mikveh requires ashboren, requires that it be gathered in a single location rather than zochalin, flowing. Mayan, spring water can be moving and be mitayer when it is moving. So, over here, the problem with the chardalit is two-sided, Rashi says. One is that it's on an incline down a mountain, and therefore it's not mitztaref to make up arba'im sa'a. And number two is, when it's in motion, it doesn't function as a mikveh. A mikveh has to be stationary, not moving, because it's not mei mayan, it's mei gishamim. So both of those reasons, the chardalit is problematic. Tosafot questions Rashi over here, and says that both reasons are right, but you probably don't need both of the reasons over here. One would be sufficient. Either that it's coming down the mountain, it's moving, so it's not mitztaref. Or, number two is that it's zochalin. It's moving rainwater, and therefore it's not good because it's not biashborin. It's not in a single location. So Tosafot takes issue with the fact that Rashi brings both reasons. He doesn't feel like he needs both. One of the two would suffice. He's not sure. He goes back and forth as to which one of the two is the right reason over here. In the end, this might relate to what is the issue with the wave. Why would one think that you could not go to the mikveh in a wave? What's the problem of going to the mikveh in a wave? It has to do with the wave itself. Over here, it says that the wave that detaches has to be at least 40 sa'a. Why does it have to be 40 sa'a? The ocean, according to Rabbi Yossi, is considered to be mei mayan. It's considered to be a spring water. If it is spring water, then we know by spring water, you don't need arba'im sa'a. You need even a mashu. You need as much water as it takes to cover the individual. So then why do you need arba'im sa'a over here? So the Taz suggests in Yerodea, the reason that you need the 40 sa'a over here, it's a gala 40 sa'a, is because you're trying to come and be metayer on Adam. And Chazal already told us that the amount of water you need to cover an Adam is 40 sa'a. So the reason the gala has to be 40 sa'a here is because it's for a man to go to the mikveh. Man to go to the mikveh, you need 40 sa'a. And that's why the gala is 40 sa'a. And that's the reason why the gala has to be 40 sa'a, even though it's mei mayan. On the other hand, the Shach disagrees and says the reason that you need the 40 sa'a over here is because since the wave detached from the sea, it no longer has a status of mei mayan. Because now it detached itself from the ocean, it no longer has the status of the ocean. How do I give it a status of an ocean if it has 40 sa'a? 40 sa'a makes it significant in of itself, and that's what makes it into a mei mayan. Since it's a mei mayan now it can work bizochalim in movement, because you know the 40 sa'a makes it into like a mei mayan. So according to the Shach, the 40 sa'a is what turns it into a mei mayan. According to the Taz, the 40 sa'a, it's a mei mayan anyway. The 40 sa'a is just because you have an Adam here and you have to dip the Adam. I was nafka me between them is, do you need the 40 sa'a in the wave to make it into mei mayan? According to the Taz, no. According to the Shach, yes. And we'll see later on in the Gemara how we can separate between the problem of katafres, water that's on an incline, versus water that is zochalin, that's flowing, how we can differentiate and why Rashi might have had to bring both of these reasons down. So Rashi believes, most likely like the Taz, that the wave itself has a din of mei mayan, and therefore zochalim are not a problem over here. So the question of comparing that to a chardalit is the fact that katafres does not work by a chardalit, as opposed to the wave, which is a mei mayan, and therefore has within it, does not require the 40 sa'a. A chardalit is not mei mayan, and therefore requires 40 sa'a, and a katafres, when it's on an incline, and over here Rashi claims it's on a very steep incline, then the katafres will not allow that water to connect to the source or to keep it at 40 sa'a. That is the problem over here. Whereas the problem of zochalim will only come up in an instance where you don't have a very steep slope, and you have the requisite 40 sa'a, maybe in the location where you are, but the water is moving. And since the water is moving, there's no psul of a katafres, because you have the 40 sa'a here, it's not a steep decline, but it's moving, and that's a problem of zochalim. So those are the two issues that might come out of the wave. A person might think, number one, katafres is okay, because here we have a wave that's moving, and it's connected and considered to be 40 sa'a. The answer is it's not, because it's mei mayan. Since it's mei mayan, you don't need 40 sa'a. And that's why katafres is problematic, because it's not considered to be 40 sa'a, and there you do need 40 sa'a. It has to be connected back to the source of 40 sa'a. Number two is the wave is moving. So you thought, maybe, because the wave's moving, therefore, any body of water that is moving is okay to use to be meteir oneself? The answer is no, because here the wave has a classification of mei ma'ayan, whereas any other moving body of water that's not mei ma'ayan is pasul. Whereas Tosafot most likely learns like the Shach, that the reason you need 40 sa'a here in the wave is to grant it the status of mei ma'ayan. And therefore, the difference between the wave and the chardalit, or the mistake that could be made by an individual is, just like the wave is moving and it's mitaher, so too a moving stream or body of water should also be mitaher. The answer is no, because the wave is propelled by its own force. It is a mei mayan, because it has 40 sa'a in it. That's just not true by the stream. The stream is made up of rainwater. Its movement is because of the steepness of the slopes that are moving the water along. And therefore, according to Tosafot, the problem here is zochalin and not katafres, because had you had 40 sa'a of moving water coming down or descending the mountain in one location, there would have been kasher, just like the wave, which has full 40 sa'a, gains its own status and is considered to be mei mayan. So here, Tosafot thinks that the problem is simply zochalin, which is flowing water, because by the wave you take care of that by being 40 sa'a. Over here in our case, the problem is that whatever the flowing water is, that even if it was to contain 40 sa in one location and make it an independent entity and wouldn't be a problem with the phrase, you'd still have the problem of zochalin, the fact that it's moving, and it's moving water that is not mei mayan. So therefore, Tosafot focuses on the zochalin aspect, because for Tosafot, the whole problem or the whole issue by the wave is that you might mistake that moving water is okay. What's unique about the wave is it's full 40 sa'ah. It's moving by its own force, and that's what gives it the status of mei mayan. On the other hand, the water coming down a slope or a stream, that water, even if it has 40 sa'ah together, still has a problem of zochalin because it's not moving by its own force, and it is not mei mayan, and therefore it's pasul by zochalin. How can I show you that you're not allowed to use the top of the wave in the air, as a mikveh? Tanya, we have a braita. Matvilim berashin, vein matvilim bekipin. We have a braita that says you're allowed to do tvila in the rashim at the ends of the waves, but you can't do tvila in the center of the wave, the part that's in the air. The feish ain't matvilim be'avir, because you can't do tvila up in the sky in a detached manner. Alright, we're going to stop here on the top of Yud Tet Amud Aleph, 14 lines down.